Our exhortation this morning is based upon Psalm 107. If you would turn there, we're not going to read this, but we will read it in parts. The human author of this particular psalm is unknown. It's not tagged with a particular person. But the thoughts are from our Heavenly Father, as we know. This psalm was referenced to in a recent talk. And as I looked it over at that time, I found that in many aspects of Scripture, it held an interesting layout. As we know, the psalms were meant to be sung. And it's hard for us to exactly picture how that would have been, the tones, the music, the various things. As we look at the structure of these words in this particular psalm, as others, we can possibly visualize how the singers may have presented it in voice. In fact, another psalm is devoted to this same thought, which is the title of our remarks, "For His Mercy Endureth Forever." Psalm 136, that we are very familiar with, where the whole psalm in each verse is repeated in refrain, "For His mercy endureth forever." This particular psalm begins with a duty we should always remember: give thanks unto the Lord. We see in the second part the reasons for this, as He is good and His mercy endureth forever. This is a very basic statement of fact. He is good. Yahweh is good, and His mercy endureth forever. Yahweh is the epitome of good or goodness. In Exodus 33:19, we read, "And He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and will proclaim the name of Yahweh before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." In Exodus 34:6, we read, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, The Lord, or Yahweh, Yahweh, God merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth." David, in many of his psalms, talks of the goodness of God. We're going to look at two. Psalm 31:19. "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." In Psalm 33:5, "He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of Yahweh." We continue in verse 2. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so," continues verse 2. And so the pattern will be established in this particular psalm in the first seven verses. We are going to read verses 1 to 7. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, and from the east, and from the west, from the north, and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto Yahweh in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. In some ways, this pattern will repeat. Four times, actually, in this particular psalm. And in some ways, when we look at this, the words that are given here, we see the life of Israel during the wilderness. We see the life of Israel in captivity and even under the judges. For this pattern repeats that they did evil and forsook Yahweh. His anger was against them and they were punished. They cried unto God and he delivered them, or judges were sent to deliver them. And they were faithful for a time, and this was repeated. Not unlike our lives in the truth, speaking personally. We have ups and downs. We have those times of great spiritual health, and those times that our health is in abyss. Sometimes it takes that to make us see, to make us understand that God is the only source of strength for us. We can't blame Israel so much because we're in the same boat in our lives. Verse 8 is what I would call the refrain, in which the singers would respond as a group, this is the way I envision this, and join in praise to Yahweh, like Psalm 136, where it has a statement, which is followed up immediately, for his mercy endureth forever. Visually, I can see that, the singers, the statement, and all join in the refrain, if that's the proper musical term. The singers would respond as a group and join in praise to Yahweh. This verse of the song will be repeated four times in verse 8 and 15 and 21 and 31. This would echo the opening thought that is given in verse 1. For his mercy endureth forever. When we look at the four distinct sections that end with the refrain, we not only see the example of Israel, but ourselves, as we have mentioned. Let's look at the specifics of this psalm. Verses 2 through 7. They were redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of lands, wandering in the wilderness, having no city, and being hungry and thirsty. Yes, we can see this in reference, direct reference to Israel, can we not? But this is the condition that we are in before the truth comes to us and before baptism. Ephesians 2, 11 and 12 tells us this. Remember therefore that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. In Hebrews 11, verses 8 to 10, we read this. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing where he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was not like one of these, wandering in the wilderness in the solitary way, in verse 4, finding no city to dwell in, because Abraham looked for a particular city, for a particular time, a promise. That was his faith. Hebrews 11:16. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. That is the promise to us, brethren. He hath prepared us a city. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them, it says in verse 5. Matthew says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amos chapter 8, verses 11 to 13. We read, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from the north even to the east. And they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst in dealing with the women of Samaria. And in dealing with the women of Samaria at the well, we read in John 4, verses 13 and 14, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And in 8, verse 8, we have the refrain from the audience, from the singers. And what I would like to do today is have you participate with me in this, to where we come to these verses of this refrain. I want you to say it. You ready? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. This is the refrain. Yahweh wants and deserves the praise of men, because of the goodness that he has given unto all men in providing a way of salvation, and his wonderful works to the children of men. He has done everything for us. He has brought us to a knowledge of the truth out of a dark and dismal world. Verse 9 says, for he satisfieth the longing soul, and he fills the hungry soul with goodness. Part of his goodness, the goodness that he displays to man. verses 10 to 14. Such as sit in darkness and the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto Yahweh in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in asunder. Those that sit in darkness and shadow of death, bound in affliction and iron. Once again, we may think of Israel and the times that they were saved out of their troubles because they rebelled against Yahweh. But we also are under the condemnation to death, bound in our affliction of the flesh. As we read earlier in Ephesians, having no light, no peace, and no prosperity, sitting in the shadow of death, the place where death reigns, bound as a prisoner, none to help, none to elevate their heart, all because they rebelled. But there is help. But it has to come in a specific way. We have to ask. And in verse 13, we read, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Isaiah 9, verses 2, 6, and 7. We read this. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice for henceforth ever, forever. The zeal of the Lord Yahweh of hosts, Yahweh Zeviath, will perform this. The great light. Upon us, brethren, the light hath shined. And in being baptized, we have taken it up. Matthew 4, 16 and 17, we read, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region in shadow of death is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In the prophecy of Zechariah, we read in Luke 1, 78 and 79, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us. To what? To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And again comes the refrain, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken, as we read in verse 16, he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. He listened to the cry of those who would call out to Him, His people, His children. This is the important thing in all of this, brethren. Is there are a couple things. We have to be the one to call out if we are in distress. And we are assured that He will hear and answer. The next section in verse 17 to 20, we read this: Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near into the gates of death. Then they cry unto Yahweh in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Fools transgress and are sick because of their iniquities. They have no appetite. Desire for food fails, and death will seize upon their frames. Lamentations 3:39, we read, Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? In Psalm 14, 1 through 3, we read this, The fool has said in his heart, There is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. And I've always thought this next verse, next couple verses, this whole beginning here, to me, is ultimately sad. Being a father, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. What a sad statement that is. And I know this verse is basically talking about Israel, but can you imagine, and I'm sure some of us can, Proverbs 1, 20 through 22 through 29, we're going to read this. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in the scoring, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and you refuse, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. It takes a cry unto the Lord. In verse 19 and 20, they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses, as we have seen time again. He has sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 22, he says, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. It requires action in all of these. When you look at each one of these sections, there's a trouble. There's the calling. There's the healing. But then there is something else required in each of these. After this refrain, there's usually something that needs to be done. Verses 23 to 30. Is the last of the comparison we have, deals with a ship on rough seas. We read, they that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Yahweh and the wonders of the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind and lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, and they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto Yahweh in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them into the desired haven. The condition of the people in captivity, whether natural as Israel or speaking of the flesh, is showing that the power of Yahweh controls all. The sea and the waves obey his very command. There is no control over these elements by mankind. He is helpless. Their very soul is faint and consumed because of these circumstances. Mounting up to the heavens and diving down to the depths. When I read this, it reminded me there's been movies out. I think The Perfect Storm was one of them. There's probably a couple others that I don't know of. That shows the boat cresting the top of a wave that is probably, who knows how, 40 to 100 feet, cresting that up to the heavens. I can see that when I read this. Mounting up to the heavens and diving down after that to the very depths of the sea. Helpless. Absolutely helpless. They stagger like drunkards. They are at their very end. We may see a great example in the Song of Moses in Exodus 15. We're going to read the first 11 verses. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto Yahweh, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Yahweh is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. Yahweh is a man of war. Yahweh is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, Yahweh, O Yahweh, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Yahweh, has dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentenced forth thy wrath, and consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together, the floods stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, and my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with the wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like thee, O Yahweh, among the gods? Who is likely like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, and doing wonders? Verses 28 to 30, they cried unto the Lord, and he delivered them, or bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm calm and the waves still. And he bringeth them into the desired haven, the protected place. Verse 31, the refrain. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 32 is the requirement after this. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. The last verses, 33 to 43, show the goodness and severity of God. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, and the wickedness of them that dwell therein, or for the wickedness. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation. And sow the fields, and plant vineyards, that you may yield fruits of increase. He blessed them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness, where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh his families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whosoever is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of Yahweh. For those of wickedness, a fruitful land turns into barrenness. Rivers run into dry ground. But for the men who would praise the Lord, it is the opposite. Dry ground now turns to water springs, and those that are hungry for the word of God will have a city for their habitation. Fields and vineyards will show the increase, and the righteous will multiply greatly and rejoice. On the other hand, the high and mighty of this world will wander and not find the way. The ending words are sober indeed. He that is wise, he that fears God and regards the operation of his hand, will observe, lay up, and keep these things discussed in this chapter. He will hide them in his heart and will encourage himself in the Lord, because he finds that Yahweh is a never-failing spring of goodness to the righteous, that they will understand the exuberant goodness of God. Brethren, we must continuously call upon our Heavenly Father for help and forgiveness, both individually and as an ecclesia, especially in these troubling days. We see in this psalm as well in all of Scripture that Yahweh will respond to our call. That's all he asks, is to call upon him in prayer. As we see in the example of Israel, that they have failed on so many levels, but for God's promise, they will not be forgotten. Those that will recognize their sins and call upon Yahweh when Christ presents himself will be saved out of trouble. This is our lesson. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to us, the children of men. God is good, and his mercy endureth forever.